Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We have to develop a diverse economic development strategy that not just waits for Wall Street to come back, but it helps to grow small business across the city of New York. This administration hasn't done that. They've ignored small business.
You know, I've created tens of thousands of jobs, and as far as I know, my opponent who talks about creating jobs, the only jobs he's ever created are patronage jobs and the old Board of Ed and maybe some jobs with some money managers and placement agents.
So before last night's debate devolved into a mess of D-minuses and 15-second answers to five-second questions, there was actually a pretty substantive discussion taking place between Mike Bloomberg and Bill Thompson. And the argument that emerged had to do with their fundamental economic visions for the city. From development to taxes, Mayor Bloomberg outlined his basic belief that what's good for business and the economy as a whole is good for everyone. Bill Thompson tried to carve out a more bottom-up vision, as he sees it, focusing on the struggling middle class and small businesses. And it's in that context that we take on today's 30 Issues in 30 Days segment, the Bloomberg and Thompson position on job creation here in New York City in this era of high unemployment, Issue 28. Greg David of Crain's New York Business joins us now. He recently had the chance to question both candidates on this very issue at a breakfast forum. We will find out what he heard and play some tape from that event. And shortly, we'll also be joined by Bettina Damiani, Project Director for Good Jobs New York, a joint project of the Fiscal Policy Institute and the group Good Jobs First. They've been critical of some of Mayor Bloomberg's economic and job creation policies. We'll point out that Crain's has endorsed Bloomberg for mayor, and Greg sits on that editorial board. But he is one of the few who has spoken to both candidates specifically on consecutive Thursdays this month about the economy. And so, Greg David, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. Always a pleasure.
And if you look at the Bloomberg platform when it comes to jobs, he is essentially arguing that job creation and economic development are one and the same. So when he talks about all the rezoning and all the new buildings that have gone up, all the new stores and so on, he's really touting that as his job creation plan. Is that a fair assessment, that he thinks what's good for business is good for jobs?
Yeah, I think you got it pretty right. I think he goes a little beyond that. And in response to the recession, the Bloomberg administration has actually been very energetic, launching a whole series of plans. They've got loan programs for small businesses and matching programs. They've got a venture capital fund to invest in startups. They're doing training for laid-off Wall Street executives. They're placing those people with small businesses as interns. They've got special small business programs. The mayor talked repeatedly about biotech and diversity in the debate last night. I think it's fair to say they do have a pretty broad-based plan. But yes, the mayor believes that business should, by encouraging business and encouraging businesses to expand, jobs will be created.
So let's listen to something that he said last night, and I'm going to ask you how much. We'll ask our listeners how much they think this resonates.
We have to have small businesses in this city. I started a small business. I know what it's like to be an entrepreneur. I know what it's like to create jobs. To come here, it is not easy. You worry every night you go home, and you worry whether you can make ends meet the next day. Those are the people that are the future of our city. That's where the jobs are going to come from.
Now, listeners, here's what we're going to do. We're going to open up the phones for unemployed listeners. Tell us what you think a mayor can do to help ease unemployment in the city and get you back to work, as well as create jobs for the long term. Do you think City Hall has a role to play in finding you a job? Not necessarily finding you a job as an individual, but creating the conditions that will maximize your chances of getting your next job. 212-433-WNYC. Considering this moment in our city, we're going to have this for unemployed listeners. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. If you don't have a job right now and you're looking for one, what do you think city policy can do for you and other unemployed New Yorkers? Do you look to the mayoral race for answers? 212-433-9692. The mayor there saying he started a small business, Greg David. I know what it's like. Somebody posted on our comments page when we were doing a live chat last night during the debate Someone posted that the last small business the mayor started was probably a lemonade stand when he was eight.
Oh, I don't think that's like unfair. You know, the answer is that he took a $10 million severance from Solomon Brothers, which sounds like a lot of money, and created a big company. And he used his $10 million to start Bloomberg. You know, what he said was true. There was another very important point in the debate about small business in which Thompson argued that the mayor hadn't done anything for small business. But there is something the mayor has done badly to small businesses, and that is the fact that city government under Bloomberg has had a very aggressive program of fines and inspections and fees, which drives small businesses nuts and creates a huge burden on them. You know, Thompson had that great number. What was it, $600 million in parking tickets, by the way?
I don't remember the number.
He targeted it towards individuals paying those parking tickets, but it's not you and me who's paying those parking tickets. It's trucks, small trucks and small business people who are trying to do business, especially in Manhattan. They're the ones who get hit with the ticket. So in that sense, I think Bill Thompson had an argument to make.
We heard the clip earlier of Thompson criticizing the mayor for waiting for Wall Street to come back, as he put it. And when Thompson was on this program on Monday, he argued that the mayor hasn't thought about diversifying the job base enough. Listen to this.
Well, I think that as we look to create jobs, I'd like to see greater aid towards small business, business growth, and support across the city of New York in that area. I think that we really need to start to tie things together, and probably looking at the president's call, as he talks about lining up community colleges, really a demand-driven economy, where we start to tie our training and dollars there into training people for the jobs of the future.
A demand-driven economy, I guess that's the opposite of supply side. Greg David, do you get that? Is there a substantive difference in how Thompson would try to create jobs from the way Bloomberg does?
Well, I'm beginning to think so. But the trouble here is that Thompson, who has the old way of thinking on this subject, you know, one of the successes of the Bloomberg administration is the way they've completely changed the city's employment and workforce programs. And you know why they did it? Because they stopped emphasizing training and they started emphasizing placing. They took the job, they took the business away from the nonprofits who did not want to be held accountable and gave it to people who are now paid and held accountable for placing jobs. And the city's job centers, despite this economy, are going to place 20,000 people in jobs this year when they placed almost no one 2 years ago. The trouble with some of what Bill Thompson has done, and I think he's done it mostly for political reasons in this campaign, is that he's moved away from the policies he articulated as controller to things that he think are more politically palatable, or in a special case, more palatable to his supporters at the Working Families Party, and they're just things that don't work. You know, the mayor has done a good job on changing the workforce centers.
With a different point of view, we are also joined now by Bettina Damiani, Project Director for Good Jobs New York. Bettina, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you for having me.
And your organization tends to take these large questions of job creation and get into the weeds with things like IDAs and UTEPs. But this is what you see as really at the heart of the jobs question. So tell our listeners why people should care about the Industrial Development Agency, IDA, and the Uniform Tax Exemption Policy, UTEP.
Well, the issue is how jobs are created, but what kind of jobs are created. I think this is the key that I think a lot of people aren't seeing clearly. Yes, there might be 20,000 people placed in jobs this year, but what kind of jobs? Are they paying decent wages? And this is the one difference that is between Bloomberg and Thompson, is that Thompson in his plans acknowledges that we need to leverage subsidies to create living wage jobs, and the Bloomberg administration really has fought that along the line. So when we use these type of subsidies through these various entities, we need to make sure that they're good jobs for New Yorkers on the other end.
Now, you bring this up, and this did come up at the debate last night, the types of jobs that are being created. The mayor was asked directly about this. Moderator Dave Evans pointed out that it's not just that unemployment is above 10%, but that lots of the better paying and more stable jobs are drying up. Here's what Bloomberg had to say in response.
Well, we are making this city a center for IT, a center for biotech by making targeted investments. That's what the city is doing with its money. Eastside Science Park, we're trying to get better jobs and more jobs up in Hunts Point and over on Staten Island. There's a whole bunch of those kinds of things. We've created 20,000 jobs this year alone with our Workforce One centers, placed people in good jobs. Our business solution centers have gone and helped small businesses, which are bringing even more jobs into this.
So, Bettina, from your group's perspective, how's the mayor doing on creating all those good jobs he's talking about?
Right. Well, biotech is actually a perfect example. Yes, jobs associated with biotech are good jobs. They are scientists and they're engineers, and the type of education you need to have to work in that industry is phenomenal. The problem is how far are we going to subsidize that industry when we don't have opportunities for people that want to enter that world that have the ability to do so? So there's no career ladders, for example. Somebody that coming out of high school that wants to get involved in biotech, that opportunity is not there. So we need to find those opportunities and use the subsidies as a way to gain entry for those type of people. Right now, that's not part of the plan. The East River Science Park has boatloads of subsidies, and including, you know, cheap land and tax breaks. So if we're going to start to fuel different industries, which, you know, is a good thing for the city, we also need to make sure that there's opportunities for a variety of New Yorkers to participate in those industries.
And what about manufacturing jobs? Greg David, during the Cranes Forum, you pointed out to Bill Thompson that the last five mayors have all vowed to save manufacturing jobs, and you asked him if he wouldn't be the sixth to fail.
Or, Greg, the first person to succeed
in
saving manufacturing jobs. Why? Because those are decent-paying, good-paying, middle-class jobs. And what you're seeing is in manufacturing, we're seeing a demand for additional space. It's one of the things I talk about, preserving some of the space now, because there is a demand. And as we talk about a city that is greener, a city that that we want to see become more environmentally sound, we import materials from around the world and around the country. It's a great opportunity for New York City to be able to take advantage of that, use additional or be able to grow manufacturing in New York City and create some New York City jobs in addition to just talking about going green.
So, Greg David, you asked the question. Now you get to comment on the answer. Is the green-collar economy the centerpiece of future manufacturing jobs here?
We probably have an opportunity in green to create good middle-class jobs, but whether they're in manufacturing or not remains to be seen. You know, I took my class on the business and economy of New York out to the Brooklyn Navy Yard a week ago. And, you know, that's where it's happening. That's where we met a lot of manufacturers who are doing that. Talk about subsidies. Do you know how much money we've put in the Brooklyn Navy Yard? Like three times the amount we've put in the biotech center.
Is that a good thing?
Well, it's a question we should ask. Is it worthwhile? Look, Thompson's wrong on the demand for industrial space. He's not right about it. New York will shoot itself in its foot if it continues this obsession with manufacturing jobs. You're absolutely right. We need to help create good middle-class jobs, and we have opportunities to do so in growth industries. Film and TV is a great example of middle-class jobs, a great example of a job where you don't need a college degree. Tourism is far understated as an opportunity, and there is a great ladder in tourism
who
come in.
The film industry also fairly subsidized and tax incentivized, right?
Right. And the reason we have to do that, by the way, is because other states and other cities are doing those subsidies. And that's the problem with the argument about subsidies. You know, I'm not in favor of incentives as a matter of policy, but if we don't want incentives, we have to bring the cost of doing business in New York down to where it's competitive. And that's what Good Jobs New York won't participate in. They want to have New York be as expensive as possible and yet oppose the use of subsidies. We cannot do both.
All right. Bettina Damiani from Good Jobs New York, on guard.
You know, it's interesting because often when we hear larger big business discussions about this, we're, believe it or not, often aligned, that we don't think that smaller businesses should bear the brunt of the tax burden, that those are the places where good jobs are being created and creative, the future of creative industries are going to happen. The problem is when big companies like Goldman Sachs and the New York Yankees and Bank of America don't pay their taxes, somebody still has to pay to have the garbage picked up and the streets cleaned up. So you're right. The shift is being the burden for the tax is being shifted on smaller companies. So I agree. We should.
So join me in an effort to cut the city budget by 20% so we can cut the tax rate by 20%. Would you do that?
Well, why should we do it? Why don't we have Goldman Sachs and the Yankees pay their taxes?
Well, because
and then
Goldman
we can
Sachs,
have the discussion.
Because, well, look, the Goldman Sachs issue is a complicated one, but Goldman Sachs was not about a tax break for a company. It was about a, it was an effort to keep them downtown, and I'm not going to necessarily defend it. But the huge incentives for Goldman Sachs were because the city decided that they had to be downtown. They would have gladly moved to Midtown without those incentives, and the public policy discussion about that was whether the departure of Goldman Sachs from downtown would kill downtown. That's,
right.
that's the fundamental issue.
Well, also the fundamental issue, we shouldn't be fighting neighborhoods, right? I mean, I agree that, you know, we shouldn't be subsidizing companies, whether they're going to move from, you know, whether it's West Broadway up to 34th Street. We need to look at our economy more holistically. And this goes back to sort of the taxes for the tax breaks for the film industry. Yes, we are competing, and the film industry is winning. They have pitted cities and states and now countries against one another. And this is what we saw very early on with a lot of the commercial companies and big financial houses.
So you want us to shoot ourselves in the foot by just pulling out of the competition? Is that what you want? New York, because you oppose subsidies, New York should not compete.
Right.
Therefore, we won't have these film jobs, and they will go elsewhere.
Right. We have never across the board oppose subsidies. We want subsidies to be used to leverage good jobs, which is happening around the country, actually. New Jersey, which is where, you know, many officials and people are scared of because companies are going to go there, they actually say that if you're going to come and participate in some of our subsidy programs, you're going to have to pay living wages and provide health benefits.
And by the way,
Texas has similar programs, so we're behind the curve.
I should point out, just as a matter of fact, that even though Greg is here as sort of the pro-Bloomberg policies person and Bettina as sort of the anti-Bloomberg policies person, that when Bill Thompson was here on Monday, he actually spoke in favor of the film subsidy. So
yes.
just to put him on the record. Susan in Washington Heights, you're on WNYC. Hi, Susan.
Hi there. I don't know very much about business incentives, but I do know about a living wage. I'm unemployed and I'm looking for a job. I work in human resources, and, you know, what I find is there are jobs that I would be qualified or overqualified for, but the wages, the salary that goes along with it, is way less than I need to keep my family, way less. And I simply can't even apply for a job like that to pay, and I pay a small rent. I live in Washington Heights. I don't live downtown.
So does it resonate with you when Thompson makes a centerpiece of his campaign to be that Bloomberg has made the city less affordable? Do you pin that on the mayor?
Yes.
Why?
I really do, because I think that, you know, the encouragement of, high flyers, big rollers downtown, the rents downtown are some I can't even imagine. You know, I look at the price of apartments and I say, well, if that's what they're paying in rent, you know, how much must those people be earning? Because these are sums that I can't even fathom. And yet, you know, just to pay for my, you know, very low-key lifestyle, I don't even have, you know, money to put in a retirement account. I would need to be earning $100,000 a year to even put money into a retirement account. Below that, I'm not saving for my child to go to college, and I'm not paying for my own retirement.
Susan, thank you very much. And do you think, Bettina, that we've heard from Bill Thompson how he would make rents more affordable in New York, living more affordable in New York?
I'm not the housing expert, but I think it's an uphill battle, certainly. As you've heard on your show, affordability of housing is going down, even despite the promises from the mayor to create more affordable housing. I mean, I think an interesting statistic that puts these pieces together is that about 1 in 5 adults in the homeless shelter system are working. So there's a fundamental flaw when people are actually working in New York City but still can't afford to pay the rent, and it's not a wise investment. The amount of money that goes into the shelter systems, and then we subsidize jobs that don't allow people to pay the rent, but then are still relying on other social services. So there's definitely a connect between the quality of jobs and the investment in housing.
Another unemployed listener, Catherine in the East Village. You're on WNYC. Hi, Catherine.
So, sorry, you're on...
Catherine, you're there? Can the city...
Yeah, sorry.
Can the city help you find a job?
No, I don't think he can help me find a job, but I would love it if he could take all the money he spends on the glossy flyers I get in my mailbox every day and just put it in the pot for unemployment. I know that we have tons of things that the government needs to be putting money towards, but losing unemployment is going to make it impossible to pay rent and search for a job.
Thank you very much.
See, Brian, I think that's really an important point here. And the important point is that the mayor has only, and the city has only, a small influence on the economy. Mm-hmm. The mayor cannot dictate what happens in the economy. The amount of unemployment insurance is far beyond the city's purview. It's a matter for the state and the federal government. And the city has no role in unemployment insurance. So I think that's one of the important points. I'm not saying that the city can help and it can hurt economic development in the city. It can help or hurt the business climate in the city. But these broad economic trends that are our fundamental problem are far beyond the purview or power of any mayor.
Bettina, a last word. Any different point of view?
I actually have to agree on that. We have, you know, international pressures that impact the type of jobs that are going to be created and stay here. But the challenge is then how do we nurture the pieces of the puzzle that can stay here to make sure everybody benefits?
All right, 30 issues in 30 days. Issue 28, unemployment and the mayoral race. We thank Bettina Damiani from Good Jobs New York and Greg David from Crain's New York Business. Thank you both very much.
Thank you,
so
Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and coming up in just a minute, a White Plains judge in a foreclosure case throws out the entire mortgage when the bank can't prove ownership. We'll talk to the bankruptcy lawyer in the case and to the New York Times columnist Gretchen Morgenson, who wrote it up. And could this set a precedent for other foreclosure cases where the mortgages have been securitized into obscurity? Stay with us.